Seated. Here we are. Day two of 2022. Now, we're not sure what this year has in store for us. So we don't want to speak the wrong things into it either, do we? We're not going to say it's going to be the same old, same old. We're going to speak differently. No doubt, no unbelief. Because once you start something, as soon as you can negate it with a negative statement. 2022, a year of hope. A year of hope. So as we enter into it, we must not enter into it with fear and its partner intimidation or the feeling of being all alone, abandoned, without hope for the future. Because the Word tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and of self-control. Holy Spirit will never put fear on us. Holy Spirit gives us courage and fearlessness to face the new year with hope, great expectations, even in fearful situations. Holy Spirit produced power enables us to endure suffering and to abound in hope in whatever circumstances we face. We find in our Bible the phrase, "Do not be afraid," written 365 times. Coincidence? I don't think so. That's a daily reminder from God to live every day fearless. Or to know that God will always have your back. Do not be afraid. In Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5, part B. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. God himself said that. God himself. Wow. God said that. I will not in any way fail you. He's not going to relax his hold on you. He's not going to leave you without support. When that clicks in your spirit, man, as being real. Because, see, I don't think some of you really let that sink in. We read that verse. And the reason we keep rereading that verse is to let you know that is God himself said that. But when it clicks, you will have such comfort, such confidence, such contentment, peace, and a peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's think about it. Oh, what joy you will find. And you will be filled with it because it's His Word. And His Word says, what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't know, but I want to be filled with joy. I want to be filled with the joy of the Lord. That's strength. Hallelujah. And when you realize all that, then you look to verse 6 there in Hebrews, and it says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And you know, that's New Testament. How about Old Testament? Old Testament. There was no Holy Spirit living in them. They didn't have it yet. He could only use His Spirit on those He would put down too, but nobody else could get it. But Psalm 118, verse 6. He writes, the psalmist writes, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Old, new, and sounds like it's the same to me. What can man do to us? Nothing. Nothing. In Hebrews 10:35 of the Weymouth New Testament reads, therefore, do not cast from you your confident hope. For it will receive a vast reward. Hope. You will receive a vast reward. Like honor. Benefits. How about advantage? You'll have the advantage. But this verse here is talking about our faith in Jesus. As to what He has done for us in the past. But it also means trusting Him for what He will do for us in the present and the future. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is always, always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. In the Aramaic, this is translated, Jesus the Messiah is the fulfillment of yesterday, today, and forever. He was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. What did it say in Isaiah 53? Huh? You're healed by Jesus' stripes. It says you are healed. You were healed, right? Okay, and you go back to into Peter, that was what was promised through the Messiah back then. But you go to 2 Peter, or to say 2:24, says, you are healed because the fulfillment of what was prophesied came when Jesus went to the cross. When His body was broken for you and hung on the cross. And what did Jesus say? Right, Tim? It is finished. He redeemed you. He redeemed me from the curse. The curse of the law of sin and death. And in that curse is every sickness or disease known and unknown to man and to this whole world. He redeemed us from sickness and disease, from the viruses, from every variant that may come about. We don't deny them, that they're there, that they exist out there. But we do have the right to deny them to come into our body because our body has been redeemed by Jesus Christ. He was made a curse for us. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. Hope. For God can be trusted to keep His promises. His promises. Promises of a life and a life worth living. Our spiritual enemies, they do what they can to wrest our faith, our hope, our holiness, our comfort right out of our hands. So we must hold fast those treasures. And the way we do that is without wavering, without doubting, without disputing. That's a hard one for a lot of people. And that even goes, that's amongst churches. We're supposed to be united as churches. Not just people, but the peoples make up the churches, and that's who we are. So why are we disputing? And what are we disputing? We're disputing doctrine and stuff like that. Why don't we believe the Word and speak the Word? We should be leaning on, trusting in, and being confident in the Lord with all of our hearts and our mind. Basically, simply believing. So we must not lose our hope in the Lord as we face the new year. Hope reduces feelings of helplessness, increases happiness, reduces stress, and improves our quality of life. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Promises to give you hope and a future. Meaning, in Hebrew, confident expectations of success. What is success? It covers a lot of ground, doesn't it? In your finances, in your job, in your health, in your posterity, the generations of your children. Promises of success for them. Mm-hmm. Psalm 33. 20 to 22, we put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield, protection. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Our hope is in Him. In Him alone. Surely is not in man. Man will disappoint you. Man will promise you he will not mandate things. And next thing you know, he's mandating everything. I don't need to elaborate, do I, in Jesus' name? I think y'all know who I'm talking about, that illegitimate person trying to run the country, who thinks he's trying to run the country. He ain't running the country. He's destroying the country right before our very eyes. But see, we don't hope in the government. We hope in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. See, because in Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust and hope in the Lord than to be put our confidence, than to put our confidence in man. Tells us that right in the Word. Better to put our hope in Jesus than man. We need to get our eyes off of man. We need to get our eyes on God and God alone. I'm sorry, that's what we did. We were looking at one man and thinking he was going to be our Savior. And he didn't make it back in. Yeah, we were looking at a man. God said, "This can't be. You've got to be looking at me. I'm the answer here. I'll provide the man you need. But we need to be looking to God. Our hope is to always be in the Lord. In Romans 15:13, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. Bubbling over with hope. Hope. Confident expectation. That's our hope. Confident expectation. To do what He promised. Hope in the Lord, or confident expectations in the Lord. That is having a strong belief or full assurance that good things are going to happen in the future. Now, I got quickened there, and that's why this came out, because everybody had a future. See, for us, I don't know why we take future that goes, it's way out there. Yesterday is past, okay? Today is present. What's tomorrow? Future. Not a couple years from now. What we do today will happen in the future tomorrow. What you confess and believe today, and you just keep thanking God for it. You just keep thanking God for it. So when you put it out that far, that's why sometimes it takes so long to get out there and receive it. Because you've put it off. What's the latest game? It's going to be some games in the future later on today, right? That's future. Yeah, a lot of people invest into different things in the market. They call it the end of the futures because they're predicting how much orange crop, how much wheat, and all those kind of things. I quit doing in all that kind of craziness, my investments. I just now let somebody else, and I trust God. And I trust God. And He's actually done a lot better since I left it on His control. I'm just telling you. But refuse to be discouraged, defeated, or afraid. Our God is a God of hope. We abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. That hope that we have was poured into our hearts. And we got it through the Holy Spirit because of the love of God. He loved us so much, He gave us His own Spirit to live in us. The Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives and dwells in you. That's powerful. Same Spirit lives in you. Now is not the time to be discouraged, robbed of courage, or disheartened, robbed of heart for the battle, or to be weary in doing what is right or required for us to do as His ecclesia. Okay, Timothy, keep praising is the one thing we got to do. Keep praising. Got to keep what? Raising our hallelujah. How's the song go? Raise a hallelujah in the presence of your enemies. Raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. Because it comes upon all of us. Raise a hallelujah. Why? Because your weapon is your melody. Raise a hallelujah, and as you do, heaven will come and fight for you. Heaven. Woo, Jesus. In the middle of the storm and in the middle of the mystery. You're in a storm and you know what's causing it. But when you're in the middle of a mystery and you want to know, and you may not get to know. But all I can tell you is God is a good God. God is a good God. So when you get sickness, it's not from God. When someone that's doing mighty things for the kingdom gets taken out, it wasn't God. It was not God. But see, that's the mystery. We don't know why. But does it change the Word of God? Does it change that He's a good God? No. So we're still supposed to raise a hallelujah. And we're supposed to do it with everything inside. Everything inside of us. We're supposed to raise a hallelujah. Louder and louder and louder. And as we do, we will watch the darkness flee. That's what the song says. And what? Fear will lose its hold on you. Your faith will explode with power when that happens. That's why the devil tries to do what he does. Plays with your head. Tries to put you in fear. But see, you don't have the spirit of fear that lives in you. You have power, love, and self-control in you. It's called the Holy Spirit. And with confidence, you will call those things that do not exist as though they do exist. You will speak to the mountains, and it will hear you, and it will obey you. Simply believe. How about this? Keep praying. Keep praying. The consistent, persistent prayer of a believer is powerful and effective. Did you make that up, Pastor? No, James did in 5:16. When we pray in faith, believing, things will be revealed. Evil will be exposed by the light for all to see. Things will begin to happen. And change will occur. It will all happen, though, in God's timing, not yours. In faith, we must wait. We must wait with patience. Without patience, faith will quit. Waiting is an opportunity to trust God. And allow Him to work in our hearts and to strengthen our character. In Romans 5:1-4, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Confident expectations of the glory of God. Hope. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. Perseverance is the ability to keep doing something in spite of obstacles. People who persevere show steadfastness in doing something despite how hard it is or how long it takes to reach the goal. And perseverance produces character. Character, the moral excellence and firmness. A resolute determination and an inner strength in you. And because of that inner strength, that character produces hope. The expectation and desire for something to happen and it be a certain thing. The thing that you are hoping for and praying for consistently and persistently. One shot deal and it's over. No. You got to keep praying and keep thanking Him. When you pray, you say, I thank you that you heard my prayer. Lord, I'm going to bring it up to your remembrance again. That's what He told you to do. Bring it up to my remembrance. Oh, Lord, you did this and that for that person. And it says, yeah, I did. Okay, so we're just going to re-energize that for you. That's why He wants you to remember what He did. He was powerful then, He's powerful today, and He'll be powerful in the future. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. When we become discouraged, disillusioned, and downhearted, we become depressed. And we end up in hopelessness. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We've been praying it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I know. I've been praying, and it seems nothing is changing. I don't see healing taking place in our nation. Really? I think that's because you're seeing things, but you got so much negativity and untruth being told to you, we can't see it. We're not seeing the things that are happening because of the exposure, the things that have been happening. You don't know about all of them. I don't know about all of them until I go to the right source to get my information, because you are definitely not going to get the truth from our news media. ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, Fox, and yes, Newsmax. You're not going to get the truth. Oh, everybody went, say, I'll go to the Newsmax. Uh-uh. You're not getting the truth there either. And a lot of them backing off, they ain't even talking about anything. They aren't even talking about it. They found out it's better left alone. When they're attacking, I'm going to say, Mike Lindell, when they attacked this man, CNN, all of them, did you? Yeah. But while they were attacking him and saying, he's saying this, saying that, he was getting exposure, and people all over, millions of people were hearing about it. Finally, they said, wait a minute, you know what we're doing? We're making a platform for him. You notice they don't talk about Mike Lindell no more. They don't talk about Sidney Powell, do they? Yeah, we thought it's over. It ain't over. It ain't over till God says it's over. His hands are upon us. The prophecies will be fulfilled. I'm just telling you, I have said that from day one, and I continue to say that. I know what has been prophesied. And I'm not going to move off of what was said. Because a true prophet, once he speaks it, will not back off. And the ones who have spoken the things they've spoken have not backed off. They just don't have the exact timetable. But what prophet did? It's not up to them to give us a timetable. To tell them, well, this is what the Lord is saying. It's up to believe for it to happen. And if we put that way future, then that's where it's on us. Okay? I don't know why I went there, but praise God. Okay. Proverbs 13, verse 12. He amplified. I think that's why I was headed straight. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. When you wait and you wait patiently enough and it gets fulfilled, it is a tree of life. That's why you got to wait. But I want to look at that first part of that Solomon wrote. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. What does that mean? No one likes waiting. It feels good to get what we want, when we want it. But when our expectations are delayed for a long time, we can experience disappointment, disillusionment, and loss of hope. My God's not going to make me feel any better. I've been sick. I've been coughing. Listen to me. I don't have any hope anymore. Oh, Jesus. It's been a month. Well, you know what? I feel pretty good today. It took you a month. Well, maybe because you were in doubt and unbelief the whole time. And instead of getting on board real quick, get on board real quick and nip it in the bud. In some cases, prolonged waiting for what was eagerly desired can become such an affliction to us that it differs little from a lingering sickness. This is exactly what Solomon means here in those words. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. The term deferred in this passage means to put off or drag out, as in a long drawn out process. Hope deferred can look like many things. A prayer of salvation for a loved one that continually goes unanswered year after year. My wife, year after year after year after year after year. Don't tell me she had a hard time. She had to keep her hopes up. Praying for me. Praying for me. Look where I'm at. She wished she would have had it faster than as long as it took. Because I didn't make life easy on her. But oh, when Jesus got a hold of me, woo! Yeah! Hallelujah. Life changed. Jesus. Can't lose hope. Or how about an agonizing job search filled with endless interviews and rejections? Or a long term battle with cancer. Or the heartbreak of watching what is happening in our nation. Hope deferred confident expectations put on the back burner. Why? Because it's taken so long? Have patience. Have patience. So as we eagerly hope for something important and it keeps being postponed, the longing we feel can make our heart sick. The word heart in this passage embodies not only the mental or emotional core, but the whole inward person. If something makes the heart sick, it causes despair and affliction. The Good News translation reads, "When hope is crushed, the heart is crushed. Hope deferred can lead to depression, anxiety, and actual physical sicknesses. When we wait for a good thing for so long that the desire and the expectation turns to hopelessness, we can become spiritually dried up and vulnerable to the enemy's attacks." In a study reported in an issue of Atherosclerosis, people who were persistently depressed had a twofold increase risk of coronary atherosclerosis, the narrowing of arteries. The study took place over a 10-year period with participants being assessed at least three different times during the 10-year period for depression symptoms. And someone noted in the report, this is the same magnitude of increased risk that one sees in comparing a pack-a-day smoker to a non-smoker. Incredible. Hopelessness, if not checked, is a death sentence. In a more recent study, this was confirmed in the British Medical Journal. In the report, it stated that people with serious depression were two-thirds more likely to die prematurely. Even those with mild depression had a 16% higher risk of dying compared to individuals who were stress-free. Just think, you can die from sorrow. But if you go back in Isaiah 53 there and read, Jesus, he took care of the sorrows, which are our pains that we feel. Go back and look it up. That's what that sorrow means, pains. And you'll say he identified with your grief, and grief is a sickness. But then you go down in Edward and said, but he took away your griefs, plural, sicknesses. He took all sicknesses. He identified with them, and then he said, okay, I'm going to take them all away. That was prophesied back then. And he done did it. He done did it. It's an accomplished, done deal. Hallelujah. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. As we wait on the Lord's timing, do not grow weary and do not get fatigued. In Hebrews 10:23 tells us, He is faithful who promised. He will never fail us because He loves us. And His love is agape love. And it never fails. You go back and read the same place I got it out of Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. See, it can't. Because God is love. God is love. He says it never fails because He is agape love. He has heard our prayers. Make no doubt about it. Wait and hope on the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 31, those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope, have a confident expectation in the Lord, will gain new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Yeah, you got to make you laugh a little bit to see if you're paying attention. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow tired. Now Hebrews 10 again, 35, the way mouth. New Testament, therefore, do not cast from you your confident hope, for it will receive a vast reward. Ha! Vast reward in hope. When you're waiting and your hope's in the Lord, what kind of reward you can get? You're going to be able to run and you're not going to grow weary, are you? You're going to walk and you're not going to grow tired or become fatigued. You will gain new strength, is what it says. New strength. New strength. I think that's a pretty good reward there. Who expect, look for, and hope in the Lord. So a lot of Christians, though, they fall into fatalism. Fatalism. It is a submissive, negative, pessimistic, passive outlook resulting from a fatalistic attitude. A fatalistic attitude is one that thinks that what is going to happen can't be changed. Fatalism wants to convince us that it's over before we get started. Hey, Tim, but God, that's where it's at, but God. See, that has never been God's word to us. He said he will have a glorious church without spot or wrinkle before he returns, and that we are called to occupy till he comes. He said, if we will pray and turn from our wickedness, then he will hear from heaven and heal our land. The ecclesia is always the determining factor. We are the ecclesia. We are that determining factor. And you can't do it sitting on your behind. You got to get up and do something. You got to go out and get involved. You got to go to the commissioner's meeting, to the council meetings, to, you know, these, go to the school board meetings. You can see what happened when they started going to the school board meeting. They brought that department, you know, of injustice against you. Pretty good. Yeah. That's what they're afraid of you. The people that you elected are afraid of you. Because they know that you have rights. And they want to shut you up. They want to put fear and intimidation on you. But you have the Spirit of God living in you. You have more power to overcome that fear and that intimidation that they're trying to bring against you. You don't have to put up with it. It's up to you. Jesus said that he will build his ecclesia, and they would be given the keys to the kingdom. They will have the power to prevail against the gates of hell and open up the gates of heaven. Daniel declared that there would be a time when it felt like the enemy was prevailing or winning. But then a decree would come from the Ancient of Days. Oh, yeah. What did that song bring back memories, doesn't it, Tim? Dean, Ancient of Days. That would loose the favor on the saints of the Most High. That's us. so that they could take the kingdom. This is not a time to shrink back, kick back, or give up. But it's a time to advance God's kingdom here on the earth. Let's contend for God's purposes in the earth as overcomers, filled with faith and power and passion and a tenacity that won't quit, to welcome the King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord strong in battle. You ain't fighting a battle alone. He's fighting a battle for you. But sometimes there's things you got to do. And who are you listening to? Them, or are you going to listen to the small, still, quiet voice? Take time. Relax. Get the stress out. Sit down and listen. He will speak to you. I am declaring 2022 as our year of hope. Our year of confident expectation of success in all areas of our lives. That's what I'm declaring for each and every one of you. Because our hope is in the Lord and Him alone. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you as we've listened and heard from you this morning, Lord God, that we have hope. We have that confident expectation of success, knowing that you're there for us. You'll never leave us. Oh, no. You support us in everything that we need. Oh, yes, Lord God. You give us that inner strength because we're filled with the joy of the Lord. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. So, Father, equip us even more. And as that to equip us, we know that we must spend time with you in prayer and in your word. And, Father, help us to take 2022 with words of life. Not words of death, but words of life. Words of happiness, words of joy, words of healing. For we are overcomers, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and our testimony, the words in our mouths, hallelujah. And as we speak your word, we know that things will happen and change for us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the peace that we all have, because our hope is in you. Our confidence is all in you, Lord God. Father, as we go our separate ways today, I thank you that your angels are encamped round about each and every one to protect them, keep them safe, watch over them, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.